As we stand, we've just been singing, "We love to shout your name, O Lord." And I just wonder, is that your prayer? Is that what you love to do? Do you love to sing praise to God? Or are they just words on a screen? Because God loves it when we worship him in spirit and in truth, and that those words are coming deep from within our very soul. Perhaps just in this next 30 seconds, just to stand, and just to wait on God, just for a minute, just to have a moment of stillness, a moment of pause. We don't have that ever in the day. We're too busy. Maybe just a moment, just to ask God to draw near. When Elijah met with the Lord, he was standing in a cliff face, and they said that the Lord was going to pass by. And Elijah stood, waited. And there was an earthquake, massive noise and violence. But the Lord wasn't in that. And there was a fire. Again, this horrific thing that happened, this noise, this tremendous scene, but the Lord wasn't in that. And then there was a wind, a violent wind, like a storm. Again, the Lord wasn't in that. And then there was a gentle whisper. And it was in the gentle whisper that Elijah was able to hear God speak to him. Sometimes we need to make space. Sometimes we need to find those moments of quietness. In the middle of a busy day, in the middle of busy lives, sometimes it's so important just to stop and in the quietness allow God to draw near to us. And maybe in that quietness just to read his word and allow his word to touch us. And we're going to hear God's word read to us now. So please do be seated. And hopefully Janet's going to come and read.
A reading from the fourth book of Acts. Chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 32. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and a great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person amongst them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And now from chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. A great number of people would also gather from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. This is the word of the Lord.
a moment of prayer before we start, please. Heavenly Father, we pray that with the help of your grace, we will please you both in will and deed, because we know that nothing we do is any good without you. Amen. So today's theme is oneness of heart, very appropriate because of the big get-together after this service. So I want us to be thinking this morning about what it means to be a community with one heart. So we've just heard from Luke in the book of Acts, who tells us that those very first Christians were all one of heart and soul. They all witnessed to God and did good things and performed miracles because they were of one heart. Now, we're all individuals. We're all unique. We all have our own DNA. But we are all interrelated. We are also part of that fellowship, just as the first Christians were. The unity and the fellowship of Christ is a continuing link through the history of Christianity, despite the many differences that there have been within Christianity. So we know that the people in Jerusalem had heard Peter's sermon on Pentecost, in which he told them about Christ in the Old Testament being foretold by the prophets, about his death and resurrection. He reminds them that they are to repent and to be baptized. And baptism is the first thing that identifies us as Christians. We share that experience with Christ because Jesus, even though he was sinless, was baptized by John because he wanted to share in our experience too. So baptism enables us to share with the community of believers, those very first ones 2,000 years ago, those of you that are in church today, those that are still to come. By partaking in that baptism, we are one heart with each other. It's a sacrament which, whether you take it as an adult or a child, is the one only thing that emphasizes that unity. And Luke tells us that on the day of Pentecost, many thousands of people became Christians. But Luke also goes on to say that these first Christians shared a common life. They were one in heart and soul. And that must have been really great news for somebody like Peter, for the apostles. They'd seen their faith vindicated. They'd seen the teaching of a carpenter and a fisherman accepted by thousands. And this teaching was enough to change their life. And I think we can only imagine what sort of hopes they had for those new followers. Imagine the utopia that we would live in if that oneness of heart and that unity and fellowship had continued. But sadly, even though that was part of God's plan, because of human weakness, we don't get that unity. There is still division amongst us. But we can learn from those first Christians that we do need to be together. We need to work together for mutual support and courage in our faith. Those new Christians joined together to share the breaking of bread, just as we do in our communion services. They went further, though. They even shared their possessions. And in doing so, they recognized that everyone was a brother and a sister in Christ, part of the family of God. And we are part of that family of God. And it's our duty to help and to love and to support each other in any way we can. God's family only works because its members have one heart. St. Paul put it like this: we are all one in Christ. It doesn't matter whether you are Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ. The first Christians, as I said, shared their goods and possessions in common. They used money to help those who needed help. They shared meals with each other. And that continued because St. Paul tells us that he received much love and encouragement from another new Christian called Philemon, who'd opened his heart and his home to fellow Christians. And he encourages those new Christians to meet together, to provoke one another to love and good deeds. I love that word, provoke. Oi, you, get out there and do something good. I'm provoking you into it. But it actually means, you know, to do something positive. The Apostle John reminds them that our fellowship with each other is with the Father and with Jesus Christ. So in a very practical way, this morning, yes, we're going to eat this food that people have brought, and we share it with people we know. But I want to just sort of talk a little bit about the Hope Food Bank, which I know we all support. When I was in the cathedral last week, I picked up the most recent newsletter. And this is what it said. At Hope, we offer welcome and hospitality to those who come to us seeking to help any who are in need of our support, wherever they live in the city and wherever they have come from. They are all our neighbours, the whole world in one food bank. Like those who we seek to help, our volunteers come from around the globe, from all faiths and none, united in the common cause of helping people just like us. And just thinking what's happened over the last few weeks in London, in Manchester, and then with the terrorist attacks, and then again this week, the terrible fire in London. One of the things that has shone through all that is the ability of people to help each other, people they don't know. And I think that's so important. What the Hope Food Bank is also saying is that during the summer months, donations drop off, which is quite hard on families whose children depend on free school meals, because obviously during school time they will get that at least one decent meal a day. They don't get that during the holiday time. And they are saying that even at this moment, before term ends, they're helping over 300 people a week. So they're asking for our help to keep their shelves stocked with staple foods. There's a list there, and on the back I've put the actual thing that I got from the cathedral. But their appeal finishes like this. If the Holy Spirit cannot live in the world, but only in us, then we need to live it out in the world. By our deeds are we known. Luke tells us that that those first Christians acted with oneness of heart and soul, and there wasn't a needy person among them. Our Christian witness is called for here, sharing in a practical way with people we may never see and never meet, but knowing that we can act as one to help them. If we can show that we're of one heart and belief, that shows God's love in the world. We need to be a beacon to other people and show by our deeds that we have God's love. It's not easy to follow the example of those first Christians. It didn't take long for divisions to occur in the community, from the very first Christians who wanted to retain their Jewish roots, through to those who argued with each other about what language you should speak, to the Reformation, people wanting to accept the authority of the Pope and those who didn't. There are all sorts of further disagreements in the church today. Women bishops, gay marriage. I think those are issues which make non-churchgoers turn around and laugh at us, because they see that as division in our church. Why are we getting wound up about this? So much more important things to think about, even though they are important in Christian doctrine and faith. But our duty here in St. Anne's and out in Egbeth is to show our duty, our faith in God, and to please him in word and deed. On the night before he died, Christ prayed that they might be one as you and I are one. He'd witnessed division amongst his own disciples. They fought with each other, they rowed with each other, and he knew that his church, which was dependent on human beings, would fall to human weakness. But we can be united in our witness to Christ because we all acknowledge him as Saviour. Wider divisions don't affect us. We're not going to make the choices or the decisions about gay marriage, about women bishops. Smaller ones within this church we can overcome with God's grace. Our oneness of heart depends not just on our faith, on ourselves, but on our faith in Christ. Through that faith, through Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we can witness for God. Because as far back as Genesis, we're told that God wants fellowship with us. Now, as sinful humans, we're afraid of this, but it's possible through the work of the Holy Spirit and through Christ. Our example of Christian love for each other should be obvious in the world beyond the walls of St. Anne's. So there are three things that I think we need to do here. Firstly, we need to make sure that what we do is grounded in God's word. Read the Bible. What does it say to you? Secondly, it should be mutual. We all have to work for it. We all have to have oneness of heart, put aside petty differences that divide us as human beings and as Christians. And it's not easy to accept each other's faults, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, that is something we can do. And pray daily for the renewal of our faith. True oneness of heart is about combining social and spiritual sides of our lives. Pray daily for the strength to be one with each other. Try to live like that church did in Acts. Now, as I said this morning, we can't go and sell our fields and our property and give it to Ian and say, here you go, Ian, do what you want with it. That's not realistic. But in the spirit of giving and in the spirit of unity, we can be like those first Christians. If we want to do God's will, both in word and deed, we reflect God in the world. And to finish with, some time ago, it was a World Cup, a football team had a spiritual advisor in their backroom squad. And he said, if we're going to overcome a strong opponent, there must be unity. We must have one team. And that's what we should be working for, unity and one team. And I think that's what today's activities that the young people have organised is emphasising within church, that we are one faith, one baptism, and one people of God. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth. I'm going to ask, where's Margaret? Oh, Margaret's going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. As members of God's family, let us pray together to our Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, as we come together with our prayers, we thank you for the Church of God. As we meet together in your name, may we give thanks for your many blessings given to each and every one of us every day. Give us all an open and humble heart, ready to do your will in our lives, we pray. We pray for all church leaders as they work for the good of all. Let us remember our South Liverpool partnership in their ministry of the gospel. We pray for all who have had their lives broken in the Green Hill Tower fire, for the many families as they mourn the loss of loved ones. May they find love and comfort in you at this time, we pray. As we join together in the great get-together, we give thanks for all who have made it possible and look forward to the great get-together in your kingdom one day. May your kingdom grow in every human shelter and home, every place of work and education, in our conversation, our mutual care for one another. May you bring peace and healing to all those in pain or sadness. Give them comfort and courage, knowing your healing is the same today and always. Remembering those named in our Book of Wholeness and Healing and on our prayer list, and those known to us personally. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have died, thanking God for his loving mercy and entrusting our loved ones into God's safekeeping. And a prayer for fathers, but let us remember also our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for being our own Heavenly Father. For the gift of our earthly fathers, we give you praise. Thank you for waking up to another blessed Sunday and Father's Day. We pray that you would bless and favour all fathers and give them the wisdom and the strength to follow you. Provide for their families and to be loving and supportive husbands for those fathers that have gone on before. We ask you that you will just comfort the children that are left behind. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Thanks, Margaret. We're going to finish our service in just a minute with a final song. Just picking up on Ruth's talk, I mentioned this morning when she spoke this morning, it just triggered something in me. I've been away on a motorbike for a few days this week. I go every year. Nicola lets me go every year with the lads, and the six of us go. We're all committed Christians, and we go and we enjoy company. And we stay in the travel lodges and things, and I was sharing a room with Chris, who's a committed Christian, great fella, great friend. And we were sharing this room together, and we go out to the Wetherspoons for a nice breakfast in the morning and stuff before we head off on the day's ride. But Chris ordered a breakfast box, two breakfast boxes, and I said, "What are you doing, Chris? We're going to Wetherspoons for a brekkie before we head off." Yeah, no, I'm just getting some breakfast boxes. Now, he likes his food, so I was thinking he's just going to put it in his top box ready throughout the day just to nibble on, you know. But anyway, he got these two breakfast boxes, and we headed out to Wetherspoons, 2-minute road down in Dundee, just 2-minute walk to the Wetherspoons. And on the way, Chris has got these two breakfast boxes. What he's done is he's actually gone and he's made his way and he's found two homeless people, and he's given them the breakfast box. And then, as only Chris will, he sat with them, chatted with them, and then prayed, because that's the kind of thing that he would do. And that is just a simple thing that brings God's love, something that we can show. Ruth was talking about showing God's love out there. Little things, little acts, just like that, make a big, big difference. Just something that we can do that makes a big impact and brings God's love to others. And that's brilliant. That's part of what it's about, being a Christian. And secondly, the other thing I wanted just to mention today, before we sing, we can only do these things, as Ruth rightly said, through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit changes us and wants us to become more like him. And so he goes about changing us, and that takes time. There's a book that came out 10 years ago called The Shack, and it's been going around quite a few people in our church of late, which is fabulous. But this book called The Shack is a fabulous book to read. It's quite a sad story. It's about a man and what happens in his life and tragic event that takes place in his life that leads him to an encounter with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And it takes place in this shack, this encounter, which is life-changing for him. And it's brilliant because it talks about the relationship between the Trinity themselves, how the Trinity relate, and how they relate with us, and what our part is in that relationship. And it's a brilliant book, and it is transforming. And it's made into a box office movie. And it's out now in the cinema. Nikki and I went last Sunday to watch it. It is a fabulous film. It's only probably going to be on for a week or two more because it's not going to be mega books, you know, so they're not going to keep it on in the cinema for that long. But it's got a couple of big actors in it. It's a great film. Go and see it. It is a wonderful film, and it will help you on your journey of faith, and it will help you to think about your relationship with God. So do go and see it. And if you want a copy of the book, I've got 3 copies, so I can lend a copy out if you want it. Just come and ask me. It's well worth reading. It's well worth going to see.